as a missionary. The U.S., England, Singapore, and Malaysia, one considered to be one country, Canada and Australia. And in the not-too-distant future, 2, 3, 4 years down the line at the most, Korea, Holland, New Zealand, and probably 2 or 3 other countries. Now, by 1980, we expect to be in somewhere between 40 and 50 countries. Many of these we want to be what we would call a strategic country, and that would be a sending country. And so we are not only going to open up new countries where the navigators are going to operate, but we want to increase our staff and therefore our production in certain countries that are very strategic to our strategy around the world. So that they can have an influence in a whole segment of the world's population. And last December, we had a divisional directors conference right here at Glen Eyrie, at which we updated this world strategy, worked out allocations for the next 3 years, and then projected it out for the next 8. And of course, we'll continually keep updating this. So we expect to be in somewhere between 40 and 50 countries, developing more sending countries, and about one-third of those will become sending countries between now and 1980. We expect to have well over 500 area reps spread around the world, plus I really don't have any idea on how many contact points, at least 1,000, probably more. The disciples, we would expect to be numbered in the tens of thousands, the DMs and disciple makers by the thousands. And we really believe that the Lord is going to do this. And I really believe, gang, that if we stay close to the Lord, keep our hearts warm toward Him, continue to allow the Lord to direct us through His Word, not only individually, but as an organization, that we could see some very, very significant things happen in our generation. In fact, I think that Brad mentioned the 6th great missionary movement. I think that this thing has the potential of becoming the largest missionary movement that's ever taken place in the world. Now that's, you know, if God leads us in that direction. However, you've got to be realistic about all this. And everything is not a bed of roses. We are not without our problems. And we are not without problems of the future. A couple of years ago, a number of us were together here at the Glen for one of these sessions, and we were discussing together what are the greatest potential problems that we face in the next several years in the navigators. And a number of things were mentioned. But there were a couple that I'd like to just mention to you tonight, primarily for your prayer. Probably the number one problem that we are going to face in the future is the management of a multinational, multicultural, multi-language organization. Now, Brad mentioned Hert Doornenbal, a Dutchman. The director of the work in England is a Scotsman by the name of Rob Powery Smith. The director of our work in Korea is Paul Yu, a Korean. Now, it would be a very interesting thing to get Rob Powery Smith and Hert Doornenbal and Paul Yu and Skip Gray, all together in the same room, trying to plan something on an international scale. Rob Powery Smith is one of the most hard-headed Scotsmen I've ever met in my life. And when he and Hert Doornenbal get together, it's the immovable object, meaning the irresistible force. And they are on Doug Sparks' team in Europe. They're two of his RDs. Then you not only take the international flavor of it and the multinational, but then you've got different cultures that go along with these different nationalities. Then you've got different languages, which in itself creates a barrier. Now, all these guys, of course, speak English, but it's not their first language. And so sometimes they have a difficult time expressing what they really feel and having it come across the way they really want it to come across in English. And one of the problems we face in Korea, for instance, is that there isn't an American over there who speaks Korean yet. That the work has grown up so rapidly, and Paul Yu has just taken the leadership of the thing, and well, that presents problems. Nothing major right now, but 8 years down the road. Then when you multiply that by Japanese and Indonesians and New Zealanders and Australians and Chinese and Indians and South Africans, and you've got all these guys together, we're going to see some explosives. And we need to pray that the Lord will give Sani and the men working with him the wisdom to manage the people and the money in a way that will bring harmony and unity. And that is the second thing that I feel we really need to pray about, is not only the management of the organization, but that it will be done in such a way that it will create a real environment of unity and love. So those are a couple of major items that you can be praying about regarding the future. Now, there's many things I've left out, and but you may have some questions, and I'd like to try and answer. If I can't, Brad can, and if he can't, Warren can, and if he can't, Hal can. So if you've got any questions, we'll take a stab at answering them. Just take a few minutes if you have any. On anything we've said tonight or anything else related to the Navigators. Yes. Yes, in several countries, Australia, New Zealand, it is really growing in both of those countries very significantly. England, Brad, how about Holland? They've got a layman's ministry of some sorts going there, haven't they? Well, in fact, probably in every European country in which we're operating, except France and Spain, where we've just gotten started. Japan, it's what they call the old boys over there. It's what they call the layman's ministry, the old boys, those that have graduated from college. Yeah.
Does each country support themselves financially?
The nationals are self-supporting, right. Now, that's a problem that we haven't hit head on yet. For instance, some of these countries that are underdeveloped economically, like Korea, when it becomes a sending country, we've yet to face how do we send a missionary from Korea to another country, and if the economy of Korea can't stand it. And that's something that we're wrestling with right now and trying to figure out something that would be equitable. Anything else? You're a very docile crowd tonight.
What about
yes.
Latin America,
we are well underway in Brazil. Got a very significant ministry there going with laymen and college students. The ministry in Mexico is just beginning to blossom. Costa Rica, we have a good ministry going there. It's not big, but it's very solid. We're just starting in Argentina. Just sent our first team into Argentina. Wait a minute. Yeah, they're there now, aren't they? Yeah. And within the next 2 years, we will be going into Venezuela? And then you ask about South Africa. It is in our planning as one of the strategic countries to go into South Africa, but we need to get a start in West Africa first. And we're going to be starting in West Africa this year and next. And probably by 1975 have a rep in South Africa. South Africa is the most highly developed economically and education-wise and economically of all the countries in Africa. And so from that standpoint alone, it's quite a strategic place for us to get into as soon as possible. But there are some other reasons why we feel we need to go into Ghana and a couple of other East or West Africa countries first. Yes?
Question. A number of us support various NAMs, more and more. How do you suggest to find out when we have extra funds or we want to shift some of our ministry? How is the best way of finding out whether the people we are supporting or other people we want to support, whether their income is sufficient or adequate? Contacting them directly?
You can do that. That's one way. And it's probably the best way is just to contact them directly. Or you could write to Rod Sargent back here at our headquarters, and Rod can tell you. He gets a report on that every month. He gets a comparison of the person's budget and their income as compared to their budget. So he can give you that information too. Yes? See him. Brad, why don't you answer that question? Okay. Talk to Brad Adkins. He's got the answer. You may have a long line tonight, Brad. Yeah, Marv? We're really not doing a whole lot overseas with foreign military. And what we are doing, I'm not too familiar with. We're beginning a little bit in Japan with some Japanese armed force personnel. We are just beginning to get into it in Singapore. In fact, Dave Dawson, who is the director of our work in Singapore, has just sent a personnel request asking for a military worker, because apparently the doors are very wide open down there with the Malaysian military troops. We're doing some in Australia, but not a whole lot. And in Korea, right.
Is that a suspect?
Well, it's pretty touchy, especially if an American is doing it, because CIA is written all over his forehead in their minds. So an American has to be pretty careful about that kind of thing. Anything else? Yes, Raj?
The navigators tend to open up any new areas of ministry, such as with high school students or anything in addition to the collegiate military or layman's ministry in the years to come.
Well, in certain areas, in the U.S., we are just beginning to get a feel of a high school ministry. We're doing some of it. It's not a long-range projection that we expect to get, at least at this point, deeply involved in, unless God really opens the door for us and gives us the kind of personnel that it would take that are uniquely gifted in that area. Now, overseas, it's a different story. Like Brad mentioned, that in Holland, the high school work is really booming. And in two or three other countries in Europe, they are beginning to move into the same thing because their school system is a little bit different setup, and a lot of kids don't make it to college. And so if they want to get in touch with them, they've got to do it in high school. And so that's where they're beginning to rethink their whole thing over there. So in the U.S., probably not too extensive, at least in the next 5 to 8 years. overseas, we'll probably be going more and more into it.
And you had a new pools of manpower?
Help me think, guys. Warren? Brad?
Well, we have a list of priorities worldwide, and our number one priority remains campuses.
Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
What about literature in foreign countries, like Bibles or Bible study books?
Many of our Bible study materials, scripture memory materials, and so forth, have been translated into the countries in which we're working, or at least in process. And we'll continue to do that. And of course, then it's made available not only to our people, but other missionaries who would like to use them. Our materials are very extensively used in Latin America because much of it has been translated into Spanish.
They print it like here and then send it over?
No, most of the time it's printed over there. It's too expensive to do it here in the States and ship it back.
For example, in Lebanon, an independent publishing house has published our materials, and other missionaries and churches use more of the materials than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure this is true in Latin America, that probably other missions use.